today. Would you stand with me as we listen to the scriptures, please? Stand with me for the reading of scriptures. All right, so these are the first is from Acts chapter 4, and I think I'm going to begin at like verse 10. So I'm going to go a little bit, verse 10 there. So this is Peter preaching. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. Therefore, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. And of course, he's speaking of the name of Jesus Christ. And then we listen to the text from Matthew 28, the famous Great Commission passage. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. Now, the 11 disciples went to the Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's take a look at that video, Linda.
India. This subcontinent has intrigued and attracted people from everywhere for centuries to its resource-rich, hospitable culture. India is a religiously diverse landscape that has given birth to a long Hindu, Muslim, and Christian history. Its art, literature, languages, and traditions have enriched the world since ancient times. India is the second most populous country in the world with 1.2 billion people, and the seventh largest country by area. There are 18 major languages spoken in this South Asian country, and the Church of the Nazarene has work within 15 of those languages. The Church of the Nazarene in the India field has a long history, as it is one of the earliest mission fields of the denomination. Since 1898, 117 years ago, the Church of the Nazarene has been leading thousands of Indian people to Christ, training and equipping leaders, planting churches, discipling believers, starting community development works, providing quality education, and transforming whole communities with God's love.
Every state has its own unique language, culture, and a very, very different flavor. So when we speak of variety and diversity, well, India is very diverse with the different religious, language, and cultural backgrounds.
In India, the Christian community makes up 2.3% of the religious population. However, at only a little more than 2%, the Christian community in India still comes in as the fourth largest Christian population in the world. And even while being a minority, there are still so many opportunities for Nazarenes to share the good news. The Church of the Nazarene is one of the fastest growing Christian denominations in India today. Since 2012, the India field has added more than 30,000 members to their 1,972 established churches, bringing their total to 129,946 members as of February 2015. Growth is a hallmark of the India field as they sacrificially spread the love of Jesus Christ. However, with being a country dominated by other religious groups, there are obstacles.
For the challenge for reaching out with the gospel of Christ to Indian masses, there are major two challenges. One is India is a land of different religions. So one challenge is people accept Christ or Christianity as one of the religions. and they're fine with it. They have no problem having one more God or one more religion. They'll be fine with that. But as soon as we say Christ is the only way, is the only savior, that's the first challenge.
Religious pluralism hasn't hindered the church from growing and creating more ministries for outreach. The India field now has 14 districts. The field is also a very young field, with more than 65% of India's population being under the age of 35, the Church of the Nazarene has been trying to reach out more to this promising generation of young people. The India field has been establishing child development centers to create more opportunities for children to hear about and know Jesus Christ, which opens doors to their families as well. India also has a strong and growing Jesus Film ministry.
We have about 72 Jesus Film teams. Every team is planting new churches, new church type missions every year.
The India field has focused on developing the South Asian Nazarene Bible College with learning centers in India, Bangladesh, Nepal, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. This decentralized program offers courses in 17 different languages and trains and prepares leaders and ministers to serve in the kingdom of God. The future looks bright for the Church of the Nazarene on the India field because even in the face of trials and persecution, Nazarenes are serving as ambassadors for Christ to their surrounding diverse culture.
It's indeed a privilege for me to be visiting Pastor Kazi and his family. He has spoken a lot about us as friends. I would just love to hear him speak. He is a person with intense and very passionate love for Christ and for the church. And so, beside everything else, I love his passion for the Lord and his love for his people and for his church. Global mission, as we know in the Church of the Nazarene, has two parts. One is called foreign mission and another is called home mission. And through these two parts of the global mission strategy, we express our very DNA of the Church of the Nazarene. Because as you probably heard that Church of the Nazarene in India is 117 or now, actually that video is old, so about 120 years old. That predates the formation of Church of the Nazarene here in the USA. And that is because the people who were attracted and passionate about Christ came together to form us as a Church of the Nazarene. And so we owe our very existence as a church, Church of the Nazarene, to the passion and love for Christ. And so I see Brother Rob as a very passionate, real Nazarene. And I think that's what continues to characterize us as a Church of the Nazarene throughout the world. That in the very inception or even very beginning of these various groups who loved Jesus, who wanted to live his life in holiness, who wanted to love him and to allow his life to penetrate theirs and become witnesses for him, came together. We should never forget that. What brought us together was Lord Jesus Christ and his mission. Education and compassion were two other parts that are inherently in our DNA. That Church of the Nazarene continued to focus on education and also continues to focus on the compassion ministry, reaching out to the needy, the poor, marginalized, the least lost. And that we continue to do it. And as one of the congregations of Church of the Nazarene, I'm sure you are true to your calling. You are true to your love for Christ. You are true to the mission around here. As I spent a little time with Pastor Rob, I could understand all that you are doing here, trying to reaching out, trying to be help, trying to be Christ to the people who are hurting, confused, trying to find meaning. And you are becoming that. And I want to just appreciate you. And so I feel at home when I'm here with you, or whenever we come, that we kind of come to the home mission. Because as a church, we have always believed in that. We have always supported, sacrificially contributed, generously given, and many missionaries who came and gave their life on the mission field. I wish I could tell you stories about some of the missionaries, but probably you can Google everything nowadays. And my time is short. Pastor Rob has taken half of it. Anyway.
Thank you.
But definitely people not only from here, from home missions, have generously supported, but have been missionaries to whom me and my family and many other families from that particular part of India where there is no other church. Only Church of the Nazarene we know for last more than 120 years. Because it's the only missionaries who came there, who lived there, who many of them died, many of their family members died there, sacrificed, invested in our people. And so I'm third generation Nazarene. Many of you probably are. Because this is the only church that I know, and the church that has come and worked and served in India and transformed that part of the world. Now, if I describe you the context back there, I think it was a kind of a darkness of ignorance, darkness of poverty, darkness of religious knowledge about God, because the religious knowledge is denied to the people who are downtrodden, who are not in the system of the religious hierarchy. They are so despised that they are even not allowed to hear the recitation of the scriptures at that time. And the missionaries came and chose to serve among those people, bringing the new identity, new hope, new life, a new purpose for their existence, without manipulation of the religious hierarchies. You know, what that means, it will take for probably some time for you to grasp when I say that there was no salvation for them. No access to temples or gods or even the scriptures. And so when this gospel came to the missionaries, that is like God coming to this earth, incarnating in this situation and bringing light and hope and new purpose and meaning for their life. And so I stand here with the deep gratitude in my heart to say thank you to the Church of the Nazarene, founding fathers, and the churches, and the congregations, and the people who sacrificially prayed, sacrificially gave, and sincerely and truly prayed and upheld this mission work. Where in these very difficult times that they could continue to work and live and be Christ to our people. And I think many churches are still doing that. The church, as we say in India, we are the fourth largest Christian country in the world. But we are just 2.3%. We have vast majority of people still who do not know Christ. And so the global mission, or the mission of the church, is still very, very urgent need of our time. It still need to be the focus of us as a church. Many times, Probably here in the West, we forget that. We get busy into many other things. But Christ has called us. Christ has loved us. Christ has owned us to be his witnesses. To be part of his kingdom. To fully focused on what the great commission that he has given to us. I know it's different now. The global mission is changing, transforming. I think since last quadrennium, we have started calling USA also a mission field. The mission is changing, but the commission remains still the same. To go out, to make disciples, to teach, to baptize. Because Christ is out there. He's out there loving people, giving hope, light, attracting them who are hurting. And many times in the comforts of the church, in the comforts of our programs and activities, we forget where Christ is. And so the global mission, even as it changes, the commission remains for us all. And for us to be part of his kingdom and to be his witnesses in that kingdom. We cannot afford to get our attention diverted to other things. Unfortunately, our politics and the kingdoms of this world draw our attention, gets us involved in things that has never been part of God's kingdom. The powers and principalities has always stood against the kingdom of God and his extension of his kingdom. The advancement of the gospel. Even in India we face that. Increasing pressure, increasing opposition, increasing suffering, increasing attacks on the churches. But when Jesus has promised that, "Lo, I am with you till the end of the age," that reality supersedes all other powers and principalities in this world. Depends where my focus is. Depends where I stand. We cannot afford to stand and fight against these other powers and principalities. Jesus has taken care of it. On that cross, he has defeated those powers and principalities. His kingdom is still calls to the narrow way. Still calls to the people who have focused their eyes on Jesus. And when that is done in our heart and mind and life, that my eyes are focused on Jesus, these other things will remain in the world. The powers and principalities and kings and kingdoms. But Jesus has not called us to fight them. He has asked to be in his kingdom. Pray for his kingdom to come. And pray and ask us to be part of witness of his kingdom. If we continue to do that and focus on that, I'm sure our churches, our lives, our mission would be accomplished. As I share this good news of the kingdom of God, it is costly. It is costly. It asks us, Jesus has asked us to give up everything else and follow him. I know it means probably very different to you. But when this young man in India heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and started to read about the word, about the New Testament, to who this Jesus is, he realized that the temple that was in their house and the prayers that he was chanting every day in the morning were not leading to him to that Jesus. Were to an idol who could not hear. He was offering prayer to this idol, bringing hundreds of people to that temple, ringing the bell and singing those songs in the praise of that idol. The idol could not hear. And his heart was burning with truth of Jesus that he had received. And then he could not sing those prayers to that idol. He told his father that I cannot do this. I cannot recite these verses. I cannot recite these prayers. I cannot, because now I am trying to understand who this Jesus is. When he stopped doing it, this work of a priest in the temple of his own family, he was disowned by his father. He was asked to leave his home. He lost everything that belonged to him through the family. On the cloth of his back, he left. But Jesus never left him, because he said, I will be with you till the end of the age. That person finally landed in the Church of the Nazarene. He was a district superintendent for many years. There is another district superintendent in Calcutta who has a similar story. He was from a priestly family, Hindu priestly family. But when he accepted Christ, he was disowned and asked to leave the house. Not knowing where he's going, he just got in the train with the New Testament in his hand and he sat reading that New Testament through this 30 hours of train ride, sitting on the floor, read through the New Testament. When the train stopped, he got out. He was in Calcutta. And today he's a district superintendent there. God totally transformed his life. But it is a costly affair. Luckily, the person Ravi Chandran, who is the district superintendent now, his father and mother were baptized by him. And they are united back into this larger family of God. How does that happen? Only God can do it. This other person, about who has a similar story, is still disconnected. His family does not love him, like him, no connection with him. There's a Muslim young man who is a pastor with us now. He also received the gospel, the Gideon's New Testament, when he's in college. When his father found out that he's reading New Testament, his father put him in the school where Quran is taught. It's a residential school. And he was put into that school, tied 10 kilos of iron ball to his leg so that he would not go away from there. But his heart was attracted by Jesus. His mind was full of the new truth that he was finding through Jesus. One evening, when the meal was being served to all others, he escaped from that Islamic school. He ran away, went to the village about 3 kilometers away with that 10 kilos of iron ball tied to his leg. And somehow got rid of that, offering that as a free to the man who would break it. He escaped from there, from his family, went to seminary. And now he's one of the pastors in the same village. And his family members have come to the Lord also. But it's not easy. She was beaten up many times. But the love of Christ that constrained him, do you want to suffer all of that and go back to that same village and plant a church? That's the mission of Christ, what he's doing. There are hundreds of such stories that I can continue to tell you about what God's kingdom is doing in this world. How the church continues to grow and progress. In 1970, Indian government stopped giving visas to missionaries. Our last missionary came to India was in 1970s. And he left India in 2004. But since then, the church has continued to grow. The mission changed. There are no more missionaries, but the people are there who have accepted Lord Jesus Christ, who have given and experienced the transformation of life. Hundreds and thousands of people who continue to be attracted to Jesus. One of the stories that is told here in this your study guide is about a famous saint from India. And I'm not going to tell you, but one of the two persons whose life affected my life from very childhood is one of them is Sadhu Sundar Singh. And the other was William Carey, the father of modern missions, who came to India and worked, translated Bible more than 20 languages, spread the word about word of God through all these different states in India. And Sadhu Sundar Singh set a model. Of course, it's an Indian model that he adopted to be a holy, wandering man, committed to Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful story. When I was about 14 years of age, I told my mom, I want to go away like that. Go as a wandering, God's holy man, just preaching, talking. And my mother probably knew better, and so she sent me seminary. In the seminary, I realized and remembered one incident that happened to me when I was small in the primary school, probably in grade 3rd or 4th. I was in a residential school in a very small village. And I remembered that one night I had a vision of Christ. I do not know if it was a dream or it was a real vision. But very similar to what Sadhu Sundar Singh had experienced, of Christ appearing to him. And I had forgotten all about it. But when I was struggling in my heart and struggling over the things that I thought need still surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, I struggled for many months. I would go out on the terrace and lie down and pray to God, God, you cleanse my heart. I want to be filled with the love that is only for my Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moments of prayers, I realized what God had brought back to my memory, that my commitment to his cause was there, that was higher than anything else. And so as a young family with a one-year-old son, when there was a call given to us to go to from west coast of India to east coast, we didn't have to, of course we struggled a little bit about what other people were talking about, that never go that side. And my wife has never traveled out of her own state. But the peace of God came upon us to say that, yes, to say yes to Lord Jesus Christ when they called us to go to the East Coast and to serve there. I made a commitment saying that we are going there and we will be there at least for 10 years, we'll serve. We had no promise of anything. We just heard the call from this missionary and through God confirming that yes, you're called to go there. And we went there knowing nothing, not knowing the language, not knowing the people, not knowing how and where we are going to stay, not knowing what financial arrangements are there, nothing. It was just to fulfill the calling that God had put in our life to be His workers and missionaries, to go and serve in the mission field. And that God fulfilled for us. We never regretted. We never lacked anything. Were there hard times? Yes. Did we lack finances? Yes. Were we sick and troubled? Yes. But one thing that never left us as a family and as a church was that we never felt alone. Did we experience spiritual battle? Yes. Did we experience some spirits moving in our house? Yes. But we never felt alone. And we never felt abandoned. We always felt that God was with us. And He's still with us. And that's what He has promised, that He will never forsake us and never leave us. I want to tell you one story of one Hindu priest. He had his own temple in state of Rajasthan, in the rural part of southern Rajasthan. And in that same village, small village, maybe a few thousands people, and in the same village, there was another small house where a pastor lived. And in the part of his house, a church is to meet. And so in the same village, there is these two places where people gather. The Hindu temple was very famous because everybody goes to that temple. Everybody is attracted to that temple because they're afraid of this God in that village. They're scared. If you don't bring offering, if you don't bring sacrifice, something wrong will happen to you. Your harvest will fail. Your family will have sickness. And all these kind of things used to happen. And so this priest was doing very well. Because people will go and offer things to him and to the temple. And he was very popular. People from other neighboring villages would come and offer things there. And this small church was also growing. The pastor would pray and people would get healed. Pastor would pray and some of their animals would be healed. In India, we do pray for everything. Unfortunately, this priest fell ill. The priest got very sick. The Hindu priest. More than 6 months, he went through different kinds of rituals, different temples, hospitals, doctors, and all kinds of things so that he would be healed. He would not. He was getting worse and worse. And he knew because of that other man who is praying there, his prayers are not being answered. So he was getting more angry, more agitated. He wanted to make sure that these pastors run away from this village. And he did all that he could do to chase this pastor away from that village so that he thought that the curse of God from him would be taken away and that he would be healed. But he did not. So he challenged that pastor, either you stay in this village or I will stay in this village. And I make sure that I will get rid of you. And so he made efforts to chase the pastor away or even to kill him. But his sickness made him so weak that he could not even move. At that time, his family members told him, why not you ask that pastor to come and pray for you? When pastor came, he said, if your God has power to heal me, I will leave everything and come and join your church. The pastor prayed. Within a week, that priest was healed. And I was in the church when this priest brought all his instrument, everything, dismantling his temple and surrendering to Christ. There is no more temple in that village now. There is only church. I mean, there is still no church building, but there is a hall where people gather. There is no buildings. But there is God working there. And all the people who are following this priest are coming to the temple, church now. One by one they are coming and trying to experience what God, how God worked in his life. Of course, there are people who are angry with him for rejecting their own God and going to the church. But this is what happened. And it's not only a Hindu family, but I could tell you stories about Muslim priests becoming Christian. So the mission of God continues. It does not depend totally on you and me. He continues to work. And his church, he said, I will build my church. But the question is, do we want to join with this Savior who came down for us, who incarnated, died on the cross, resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Lord, God Father, and is going to come back? But he wants you and me to be his witnesses, to continue to testify what he is working, he is doing in the world. Not just in heaven. He is working in this world. In your neighborhood and my neighborhood. In your country and my country. We need to have our commitment, our priorities, that is his kingdom. Loving him from bottom of our heart. Obeying him and being where he wants us, you and me to be. And he said, I'll build my church and the powers of hell will not prevail against it. It's not a passive statement. It's an offensive statement. Is the gospel power, the mission power, is an offensive, attacking the gates of hell. It's not waiting for gates of hell to prevail against us, but it is we are prevailing against these gates of hell. And we have nothing to fear because Jesus said, I am with you. Are we ready to go on offensive to the gates of hell? That's where you and me need to go, to rescue people, to share and witness for Jesus. And that's what he is doing. I'm sure through this church you are doing many things. And that you will love people who are in darkness and bring them to his kingdom. May the Lord bless you and continue to use you as his witnesses. His power, his truth, and his presence, he has promised to be with us. God bless you.